Welcome to the program. Look at you today. Aren't you something? Sitting up tall with your shoulders back, beaming with confidence. I see that little smile on your face. I see it coming through. Yeah, I see it now. Dressing up. Look, you're dressed rather well today. What's going on? Is it a special occasion? Is it your birthday? Or did you just take a shower? What is it? Look at you today. Wow.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Did you clean behind your ears today?
Whatever.
Look at you. I didn't know you could clean behind your ears, but I guess you can. That's pretty good. Good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Nicely done.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very, very much. Welcome to the program. So anyway, hey, you do look good today. You have some kind of cologne or perfume on? What is that? That's a sweet scent.
Aww.
Yeah. When I get up in the morning, I watch the news because I like to stay informed. I wish some of you would do that, but apparently you don't. But you should always find out what's going on around you, spin or no spin. But it depresses me. I can't figure certain things out. I know that our forefathers, and some of us even had six fathers through various marriages, that they sat down and they drafted the Constitution. I don't think it was just them. I think there were a lot of people behind the scenes. I think there were comedy writers involved or something. A lot of people wrote this Constitution, and then they came up with what they thought was a formula for a document that would be the centerpiece of how this country exists and how it is run and how it progresses. Well, they got a lot of stuff wrong there because they couldn't see into the future. You know, hundreds and hundreds of years later, I don't know about hundreds and hundreds, but years later, they couldn't possibly think that a guy like Donald Trump would come along. I mean, it wasn't in the cards. They just had no concept that a guy like this could possibly be elected into office. They thought that, see, if people voted, then there couldn't possibly be a scenario where a guy like Donald Trump could possibly become president. Well, they were wrong. Because somewhere along the lines, and this wasn't the forefathers, somewhere along the line they came up with this electoral college thing, where now it doesn't matter about the votes of all the people who are citizens and pay taxes. That doesn't matter. Now we're going to play with the numbers. And we're going to say that, let's say Montana doesn't have a lot of people. So why would people in Montana bother voting? Yeah, why would you? I mean, well, it's just the way it is, man. You didn't have to live in Montana. You can move to New York if you want to and vice versa. You choose to live in Montana, yeah, your vote's not going to be as, It's the popular vote, man. Stop with the state stuff where a president wins Florida or wins Arkansas. Give me a break. It's just a popular vote. That was the original idea. This electoral college, half the people that vote don't even go to college. So the vote is as strong for six people in Montana as it is for 10 million people in New York. No, it's not the way it should be. Someone screwed up on that one really bad. It should be popular vote, period, end of story. You go to the polls, you pull the switch, or you mark the little thing with your pencil or your pen, and it's counted. And the person that gets the most counts becomes the president. What is so confusing about that? Why do we have to go screwing with that thing? I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't get it. This is not what was intended. This is not. Our forefathers, at least three of them, had no idea that someday down the road that we would invent semi-automatic weapons and assault rifles. They had no concept. Back then, if you wanted to shoot somebody, you had to pull out the musket, get the gunpowder, shove it down the barrel. You'd have to actually say to your victim, "I'm going to kill you. Just wait a minute. I got to go through this whole thing with the musket, but don't go anywhere. I'm going to kill you in a couple of minutes. So just hold on. Just hold on. Give me a little time here." I mean, it gave the other person plenty of time to run away. And I think that was a good thing. I mean, now with assault rifles, you can take out like 100 people in half a minute. I mean, was that the intent? That citizens should be walking around with assault rifles? I don't think so. I don't think so. Something went wrong somewhere. And I don't think it was the interpretation. I just think we technologically and socially advanced beyond this document. So we have amendments. That means that we take the rules of the land and we change them. But we don't change them properly, you see, because they're not part of the original deal. I've said this before, this is one thing that needs to be changed immediately. Well, two things. In Ron's world, come into my world, you'll find it fascinating. There's a lot of finger sandwiches and alcoholic beverages served. Come into my world. I should open up a theme park. There'll be no rides, just a lot of couches and a lot of bartenders. That would be my world. That would be my theme park. You pay like $50 to get in, but the drinks are free. I think that would be a excellent, excellent theme park, and I do very good business year-round. Anyway, in my world, president-wise, a lot of things would happen. First of all, we would go back to the popular vote. I don't care. Popular vote. If you live and you're a citizen and you vote, that vote is counted, not by your state. If it's a national election, it's counted nationally. Whoever gets the most votes wins. It's the way that we do everything else. That's how we do bingo games, and that's how we choose upsides for softball and everything else. We don't divide it by states or anything like that, or background, or it's just you pay the money, you vote, and that's it. It's counted. Who gets the most votes, you win. Let's get back to simplicity. That would be number one. Number two is presidential elections would be every 2 years, every single freaking 2 years. None of this four-year bullshit. You can do way too much damage in 4 years, similar to what Trump said he would do and then doesn't, or start screwing with things that we didn't think he would screw with. 2 years, and that way you better be on your toes every day you get up. And the presidency is a horrible, horrible job. I don't know who would want it, except for some power-hungry, egotistical maniac with delusional views of everything. In other words, Trump. Otherwise, any smart individual would not want to be president. I can't figure out a reason why they would be. unless they wanted to actually help the country and the people therein. Again, that would not be Trump. He's out to help himself in every way, shape, or form, and members of his family who actually are part of the kingdom. I've never seen a president come into the White House and have all the top security jobs, his family. Yes, Ivanka is going to run this division of the country. What experience does she has? Oh, she sells dresses. She sells dresses. Okay, well, there you go. Well, there you go. There's your qualification right there. And I'm going to bring in my daughter and her husband, and I'm going to bring in the rest of my family, my two sons. They will also be part of my cabinet. What, are you serious? Are you? Yes, and I only choose the best people. I will choose the finest people. What? Your finest people have pleaded guilty and are being indicted. You choose the finest people? You choose the finest people, you let them go, and then you demean them publicly as being total idiots when you were the one that chose them. Yeah, you make some great decisions, babe. Yeah, keep on making great decisions like that, and then prove yourself wrong. Who chose this guy to be Secretary of State, this asshole that doesn't know what he's doing? Oh, that's right, I did. Oh. Yeah, think that one through, Don. Every 2 years, president, every 2 years, that would save a lot of lives and a lot of people in therapy. Every 2 years, please, let's do that. And the last thing I would do is... this country is supposed to operate on checks and balances. And that, for those of you that may not know what that is, that has nothing to do with your checkbook. And if you balance it at the end of the month, most people don't do that anymore. They don't have checkbooks and they don't balance anything. They have no idea what they have in their account at any given time, I guarantee you. A former friend of mine, we were talking about this. And he said, I don't have a checkbook. I do everything online. Pay my bills online, everything. I said, oh. I said, do you check your credit card? What do you mean? Well, that all the charges on your credit card are your charges and that they didn't, you know, that it is everything that you thought it was going to be and there are no phony charges on there or no extra charges. Well, no. How do you do that?
Seriously? Seriously, you don't do that? You don't do that? You don't know if you've been overcharged, you just pay the bill without looking at the details? You just pay it because it's on the bill?
Well, yeah, isn't the way most people pay bills? They just pay the amount.
Now, you're supposed to look at the details and make sure that there aren't charges on there that you didn't incur or things you didn't ask for or something like that, or you're being billed for things that you never okayed.
Well, how do you do that?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Anyway, that's why this person's not my friend. I cannot tolerate stupidity. I feel that if I talk to somebody or have a friend that is like legitimately stupid, it brings me down. It's almost like the president. Ron, why are you friends with a total moron? You know, you're right. I don't know why. It doesn't make me look very... No, Ron, you don't choose well. You don't choose your friends well, but he's a nice person. He's a moron, though. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Here's what I believe should happen in my world. The Congress should be as powerful as the president. This executive order thing and the president doing things like a king does.
I decree by executive order, as I sit here and was elected by the people, by state and Electoral College, that I decree and I will sign this and this will happen immediately without say so from the public nor the Congress nor anybody. I am the king.
See, I thought, here's what I thought, and I was wrong. I thought that when we became America, we broke free from that king stuff that was going on in England, you see. No more kings. This is going to be a democracy where the people run the place. The people are the employers. Oh, I guess I got that wrong. I guess we're going back to the kingdom dictator thing. And again, I thought the Constitution was supposed to protect this. I didn't think that the president should be allowed to become a king and completely not even look at Congress or start maligning them if they don't do what he asked them to do. I did not know that that was the way that was supposed to be. You see, this is all screwed up. This is all screwed up. Let's get this Constitution thing going. Let's do some fixing here. I didn't know I was going to walk into a dictatorship. Anyway, that would be my world. Have the people take over, not the one orange-faced guy. Anyway, I move on. Oh, really? Oh, do you, Ron? Do you move on? You're not showing that you are. You're stuck on one subject for 7 hours. Sorry, man. I watch the news and it bothers me. Trump's wife, Melania, or Melanoma, I don't know what her name is. I don't know. She's the one part of the entire Trump White House organization that you can't really understand unless you listen carefully because she has a very thick accent. She's about the only person with an accent in the country that hasn't been considered for deportation just yet. But believe me, if Trump's wife starts irritating Trump too much, she will be deported. She will be separated from her family in a detention center. I guarantee you it's going to happen. Anyway, Melania, you know, these first ladies, they choose these little causes and they go out amongst the country and they speak about them. Whether it be children's education, Just Say No to Drugs, some of the popular First Lady campaigns of the past. Melania Trump has chosen cyberbullying. I know. It's almost like it's a joke. She has done this. She speaks sometimes. Questionable. She speaks to various organizations about cyberbullying, how tremendously painful and hurtful and destructive it can be to bully people over the internet and on Twitter and on social media. Every time I see a clip of her talking about this with quote-unquote passion, I have to break out laughing and figure, this is one of the funniest comedy sketches I've ever seen. Oh my God, it's real. The poster child for cyberbullying is her husband, the President of the United States. And she goes out and she tells the world how horrible it is to do that. Now, either she's making fun of her husband, which I'm surprised because otherwise she'd be assassinated, or she really believes this. I can't figure this out. It just falls into line. This irony is so remarkable that only with a Trump White House could you have this, where her husband does something and the wife goes out publicly and says, don't do that. What? What are you talking about? This is the grand world of delusion. And then Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who is a scary-looking individual, his poster child holiday is Halloween. He actually said this past weekend on one of those Sunday interview shows, he said, quote-unquote, the truth is not the truth. What are you purposely doing? The truth is not the truth. What? What are you setting us up for? What's going to happen that you're going to have to start using the argument publicly that what you hear is the truth is not the truth. I know what it is. Donald Trump to this day still defends Russia. He throws some sanctions on him. It has been reported by Microsoft over the weekend that Russia is actually setting up phony accounts online, preparing to get involved and hack the 2016 elections, which are coming up in November. And the idea is to make sure Republicans win. Here, you would figure that there'd be some outrage. Microsoft is outraged, but that's about it. Because the public is too stupid to understand what's going on here. And that is that Donald Trump, as the president, is doing everything in his power to not admit that Russia is doing this. This interfering in our election. He refuses to say it. He says it could be somebody else. It could be them. Probably not. I don't know. Unless Vladimir Putin has pictures of prostitutes urinating on Trump's face, I don't understand why Trump is protecting Russia so much. And then I thought, well, my goodness, wait a minute. I still don't have Trump's tax returns. Every other freaking president has released their tax returns to become president, and as they are president. It makes the public understand that we need to know if this person's above board or not. We have to be above board. We can be audited. Trump's been audited. And Trump, through the entire campaign, said, I can't show you my tax returns because I'm being audited. And the U.S. government kept saying through the whole thing, no, you don't have to. No, you can show them. It has nothing to do with it. Go on. You can show them. We're not telling you not to show your tax returns. You can do whatever you want with tax returns. Trump says, I can't show them. I'm being audited. You're full of shit. It's what? They're being hidden from us, ladies and gentlemen. They are purposely, without question, they're purposely being hidden from us. You know who's got his tax returns? Mueller. You know who has got the indictments and the guilty pleas from people that worked closely with Trump during the campaign and after? Mueller. Bob Mueller, a special investigator on this Russia probe, if you're listening to me, you probably got a lot of stuff on people. I know you're indicting people, and you've indicted 8 of Trump's campaign people. And you've indicted up to 19 or 21, I don't know the exact number, of Russians who got involved in the 2016 campaign illegally. And Michael Cohen, Trump's personal attorney for years and years and years and years and years, who knows where every dollar of Trump's money is and every piece of problem that Trump got into and how he handled them. The heat is on. It's on the streets. Mueller's got enough stuff to put this guy away right now, but he's waiting. Bob, come on, let's get it on. Get it on. And here's another thing. Mueller and his investigation are negotiating. The word negotiate is being used with the Trump attorneys to have Trump sit down and do a deposition and be interviewed by Mueller. And I don't quite understand, and I have to ask an attorney, but I don't know if they know presidential law. Why they don't just subpoena the guy? Subpoena Trump. Why are you asking him? Give him a subpoena. It's possible that you cannot subpoena a sitting president. I don't know if that's the case or not, but why not? Why not? Why not? How is this president not as equal as I am?
How is this president not a citizen? How is this person, this Trump guy, to be treated differently than I am treated? I pay my taxes. I don't think Trump does. We have enabled a rich person to make himself richer, and all of his friends who are rich, he actually said to them after he passed this tax cut, this tax restructuring, he actually said to them, and it's quoted, "I just got you guys a lot of money." Who does this? Who does this? And we just sit here and we complain about it, as I am, with no resolves. We just wait for the world to be destroyed until the next presidential election. It's very disturbing to me. Now, if you're a Trump supporter, of course, that's very, very different. You're one of the 33% in this country. One out of three people support President Trump. It's not going to win you an election, that's for damn sure. It's going to make you lose big time, but, you know, maybe it gives Trump more time to screw up even more to make sure that he's not president again. I have a feeling, I know Trump's ego is huge, but I have a feeling that he's not going to run for re-election. I think he's going to blame it on everybody else and say, I could have made this country even better, even greater. But you guys are just, you make it too difficult. You keep putting me down, and I can do much better in private life, and that's where I'm going. I'm going to open up my own conservative news channel and become a billion zillionaire. I don't need this crap. Besides, I'm getting out of office before you guys find out any more dirt about me. Well, Don, you can't be president for more than 8 years, and the day you step out of the job, which hopefully will be after 4 years and not eight, or even before 4 years, the day you step out, you could spend the rest of your life in jail, because now you're not a special man anymore. You're a former president, but you can be indicted, and you can be subpoenaed, and you can end up in jail, depending on what you've done. And try treason on for a hat size and see where you get with that. You're concerned about perjury? Try treason. See where you get. Give me a call. Let me know how you're doing. I'll bring a cake down to the penitentiary with a file in it.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Don't worry. No one has to know. This is just between you and me and Ron. We cool?
I know so little about golf other than it puts me to sleep, and I get a really nice nap accordingly, so it's not a horrible sport in that sense. I've never been to a golf tournament because I have somewhat of a semblance of intelligence, but I have watched it on TV. My father used to watch golf on TV, and he would fall asleep, and yet he loved golf, but it put him to sleep as well, which wasn't a bad thing. So I don't know much about golf at all. Some of the names of these PGA Tour people I'm familiar with, but I'm sure I've not seen them play golf because I would have indeed fallen asleep already. However, they are spokespeople for things that do happen. And Tim Herron, who is a PGA Tour person who does quite well, this is a real interesting story because his handicap is not a handicap in golf. He has an actual physical handicap. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
How are you?
We're great.
Great. Hey, we're talking to some interesting people here. First of all, you got the four-time PGA Tour champion, Tim Herron. Most of us are familiar with him. And you got a board-certified hand specialist, Dr. Damon Edmeni. And thank you for being with us today. This is a subject that is interesting, and Tim, I know you firsthand can tell me that you've got concerns about this, and you're getting involved in a program called Facts on Hand campaign. What is that?
Well, factsonhand.com, you can go to the website. But what it is, it's a campaign for a hand disease that I have.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been in my family. My father has it, my sister have the same condition.
Oh.
And I learned about it because it drew their fingers down to their palm. And I was always concerned, like, man, I'm a professional golfer. I don't know if I, this is something that I have to be kind of concerned about because I use my hands quite a bit, especially, you know, holding the golf club and stuff.
Yeah, I would think that would come into play.
And then I noticed about 7 years ago that I was starting to get the same condition.
Oh, okay. So, doctor, this isn't something that most of us ever talk about. We talk about all kinds of possible problems with the body, but we never talk about the malfunction in the hands. Is this fairly common?
Yeah, it's actually Dupuytren's disease is a very common condition, and you're right. I think it's been overlooked for a lot of years. And that's one of the reasons why we're bringing this campaign to the forefront, just to try to make sure that we bring awareness to patients and people across the country, because it is very common. It essentially is a disease that affects the tissue under the palm, and it essentially creates a contracture where it draws the finger down, like Tim was mentioning, which obviously can be very debilitating if you think about it. You know, you go to wash your face and you can poke yourself in the eye, or you try to, you know, shake hands with people, and it can turn into an issue as well. So it's a very common thing that I think is very underrepresented, like you said, as far as what we're looking at.
Tim, how long have you been dealing with the manifestation of this?
I'd say 7 years. And, you know, it progresses. Other people, it progresses differently.
Mm-hmm.
So it was more aggressive than my sister.
I see.
7 years, and I've just kind of seen, I call it growing, but it probably isn't really growing as a doctor.
It's growing.
So.
Okay. So, but... with attention and knowledge, is this a controllable situation?
Yeah. So the good news is early awareness is really the key, and certainly there are multiple treatment options, including surgical and non-surgical approaches to this. And really, the best thing to do is if you're concerned about you having something like this in your hand, to seek out a hand specialist in your area to really have a conversation about what treatment would be best for you.
Okay. Is this only a situation of genetics, or are there other... I assume that there are many reasons that one can have malfunction in the hands besides this. Of course, different manifestations of it, but, I mean, we hear all the time about... carpal tunnel syndrome, some of them quite severe to the point of non-use. Is that all in the same family, or this is this a nerve situation? What is this exactly?
Well, it's a condition that involves the tissue, so it's not related to the other entities that you mentioned, but certainly there are different levels of severity that you can see, and thankfully Tim's isn't very progressive at this point in time, and he's still able to play. But we do get patients in the office where their fingers are basically completely drawn down into their palm, and certainly that could be even make the simplest of tasks very difficult for the patient. Okay.
How would I know if I have this particular situation or a problem with my hands might be a result of something else? I assume I would check with my doctor.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do certainly is to check in with a hand specialist if you have any concerns about your hand. But some of the manifestations of it would be, lumps or bumps in your hand. But a finger being drawn down into the palm is really the key component here. Tim could mention. Yeah.
Let me ask you one more question here, because we all go to our family practitioner or primary care specialist first, and the question is, are they up on this enough to be able to say we need to send you to a hand specialist, or you've got some arthritis, it'll be all right?
I think nowadays the awareness is getting better, but I certainly think that there are many non-hand specialists out there that really are not very familiar with the condition as well. So that's why I think if you have any concerns, to seek out a hand specialist would probably be more appropriate.
Okay, very good. So Tim, you're doing well then, huh? Still good?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. I'm almost 49, so I'm getting ready for the Champions Tour.
Wow.
I'm going to be a rookie again, so, you know, of course I'm concerned about my hands, making sure that as a rookie I got some years left in me to play some golf.
Yeah, how does one become a championship rookie? That doesn't make any sense.
I know, it doesn't, does it? Well, it's the only sport where we have a senior tour, which they don't like calling it senior because right. It seems almost too old.
I know.
It's Champions Tour now, they call it.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
So, senior tour when you turn 50.
Well, the best of luck to you. Although I don't think you need luck. I think you're doing great.
Luck's always good.
Well, all right then. Good luck then.
Thank you.
Experience trumps. Oh, I said that word by mistake. experience trumps luck. Okay. Where do I go for more information?
Well, for more information, you can go to factsonhand.com.
Okay. Thank you for bringing this to light seriously, and it's important. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care. Very nice. Very, very nice people. Golf people are nice. You never see them, like, arrested for domestic abuse or, well, actually, I guess you do. Well, anyway. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace. I mean that from the bottom of my pants. I really do. I hope you have a nice day. I mean, not really. I don't know you that well, but, you know, whatever.